And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Friday. With plenty to get to over the next couple of hours as we kickstart the weekend. Coming up, reaction to last night's NBA draft and also today's Major League Baseball trade deadline as we are 4 hours away from the end of the trade deadline. Also coming up, what does the expansion to the SEC, now that it's becoming official? Texas and Oklahoma got the votes yesterday. They're on their way at some point to the SEC. What does it mean for the college football playoff expansion? Should Clemson be the next team invited into the SEC? We'll also hear from Coach Shane Beamer when we talked with him on the show yesterday. We'll replay that conversation later on. Which teams in the NFL will boom or bust this year? Which college football programs are the most stable? And a whole lot more over the next couple of hours. Plus, we got tickets to give away for a Charleston River Dogs game this weekend. Stay tuned for that coming up. And, of course, you can always join the conversation throughout the afternoon. You can always give us a call, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. You can get to us on Twitter, at Morrow Middays, on Facebook, at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, your one-stop shop, where there you can click on our show page and leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you could take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Friday as we start the weekend, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Friday, enough said about you.
Yeah, not too bad. You know, I was trying to be good last night. I went to bed early. I was tired. I said, I'm going to go to bed early tonight, get some rest, and then I wake up today feeling like I got no rest. Right? That ever happens to you? You wake up after a long night, so you feel like you didn't sleep at all. But we'll make it through. It's the weekend. You always have more energy on a Friday. I've always said this, and especially for a summer Friday. Right? You may be at work today, but you know you got some fun plans this weekend or tonight, or you're going golfing later, whatever it may be. You got something to look forward to. You could get no sleep all week long. It could be the most miserable week. Whatever it is, you wake up on a Friday, you just have a different energy. Right? And nothing's going to get you down today. We're heading into the weekend, but we got plenty to do first. We'll give away some River Dog tickets coming up in just a little bit. You know, it's interesting. This time of year is the slow year in the sports world. But because of the pandemic and the NBA season getting pushed back, it's been interesting. We had the NBA Finals not too long ago. Then last night we have the NBA draft. Today we have the trade deadline. So training camp starting. College football is about a month away. So it is an interesting time right now where there are some things going on here at the end of July when that's usually not the case. Next Thursday is the Hall of Fame game. So I want to start with both the draft last night and the trade deadline today. Because the big news out of the draft last night was the Lakers trade for Russell Westbrook. It didn't involve anybody in the draft. The big news out of the baseball world, it was the trade of the Los Angeles Dodgers adding Trey Turner and Max Scherzer from the Nationals. Turns out D.C. is just a feeder system for L.A. apparently. Last night, D.C., right, two of their teams, they sent Russell Westbrook to the Lakers and they sent Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers, doing whatever they can to help out Los Angeles. But isn't it frustrating as a sports fan of maybe a small market when you see things like this happen Now, Washington, D.C. is not a small market. We use that term. I've discussed this before. When we say small market, we're not being technical. People always say, well, small market, technically, Atlanta is the eighth biggest market. But they operate like a small market. Right? When have the Atlanta Hawks ever gone out and got a big star? When did they ever sign a big star? Or pull off the blockbuster trade when you get Kevin Durant going there, or LeBron, or somebody? It's like, whoa, the Atlanta Hawks got another one. Never. Prior to Trae Young, their only star ever was Dominique Wilkins. Now, the Atlanta Braves have done a good job, but same idea. When have the Braves ever gone out and really made a huge splash? Like, get an Alex Rodriguez. Get a Bryce Harper. They've made some good moves along the way, but Marcell Ozuna is one of the best free agent signings in Braves history. Good player, an all-star, but he's not a superstar. Right? The Braves got Greg Maddux when nobody knew who he was. They developed Tom Glavine, John Smoltz. They did a good job there, but they don't go out and get those. They developed Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones. They didn't bring these guys in from other organizations. And sure, Atlanta is not a small market, but in the sports scene, right, they're treated as such. So when we say small markets, people always get technical and say, you know, that's the fifth biggest city. How is that a small market? Because they operate like a small market. Whether it's because of their owner, the fan base isn't supportive enough, right? Budget restrictions, whatever it is, certain teams operate like small markets. When has Washington won anything? They had the World Series 2 years ago with the Nationals, but that was a big outlier. Right? The Washington football team has been a disaster in terms of how they have operated. Outside of that World Series 2 years ago, the Nationals, for the majority of their existence, have really been a disaster. And the Wizards, Washington Wizards, really, for the most part, have been a disaster as well. The big player the Wizards have gotten over the years was Michael Jordan when he was 40, and that was because he was already an owner of the team. He was working in the front office. He said, yeah, I'll come back and play. So this is just another one of those examples, right, of the rich getting richer, which you could say, a lot of people would say, that's just kind of how the world works or this country works. You take from the smaller portion of the population, or like the more struggling portion, and take from them to benefit, right? Like steal from the poor to benefit the rich almost, right? That no matter what sort of rules are put in place or taxes or anything, the rich just get richer and it's the rest of us that take the hit. It's similar in sports. That for Washington, right, they get Russell Westbrook and, oh, there he goes off to L.A. And then, here's Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, and the Nationals finally win a World Series. And then they break up the team and they help out the Padres and they help out the best teams in baseball. One player went to the Red Sox yesterday. Just what happens in sports. Now, I heard Greeny this morning talking about, do we just crown two L.A. champions last night? I don't think so. They definitely helped themselves out. But in terms of Russell Westbrook to the Lakers, I don't really get that move. I know the reports were that it was either him or Buddy Hield. I think Buddy would have been a better fit. Reports also that there are a lot of people in that organization not happy with bringing Russell Westbrook in. There's pros and cons, like everything in life. What you get out of Russell Westbrook is that he's going to play hard and he's going to play just about every game, which is good because you can't count on Anthony Davis, and LeBron James has been wearing down and also sits games out. Russell Westbrook, though, is always going to give you 100%, and you can count on him to be out there every night. So that's good. The other pro is that for an aging team, and Westbrook is aging as well, he still plays quickly. The Wizards were one of the fastest-paced teams this year. The Lakers were not. LeBron in his older years and the guys around him, right, they kind of slow things down. So Westbrook can be like a B-12 shot or something. He can try to energize the Lakers with his style of play. Those would be the pros. And plus, it's a big name. But the cons are, I don't think it's a good fit. He and LeBron are two guys that neither one are great shooters, right? LeBron is certainly a better shooter, but he's not a Steph Curry. They're two guys that like to drive the lane. They're two guys that were both top seven in ball handling last year, meaning that of all the players in the league, they had the ball in their hands amongst the top seven players in the league. Right? They're two ball-dominant scorers that can't shoot, that like to drive, that don't want to clog up the lane. I don't think they work well off of one another. So I don't know how well that move will work for them. Right? I think the trio in Brooklyn fits better than this trio in L.A. Can't count on Anthony Davis. Still don't have any outside shooters. Westbrook and LeBron are fairly similar in the way they like to play. They want the ball in their hands and to be on the move, driving. I don't know how much better the Lakers really did get adding a big name. Not to mention, he's never been great in the playoffs. Right? He's old, just like LeBron. And on the flip side, for the Dodgers, you know, big move to bring in Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. But also, Clayton Kershaw's injured. Trevor Bauer probably won't pitch the rest of the year. Bellinger's been terrible. Seager's been injured. That's why they had to go get Trey Turner. Mookie Betts has been disappointing this year and injured. And they're in the toughest division in baseball where already with all their talent, they're still not in first place. And the team that's in third place, the Padres, that has, at least prior to yesterday, has just as good of a roster. So did the Dodgers and Lakers get better? Yeah, I think so. Enough to, you know, hand them the championship? No, I don't think so. But we had the draft last night. Major League Baseball's trade deadline is today, coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And it's different this year in baseball. We do not have that waiver wire trade deadline in August, right? Which I never understood in years past. We had the trade deadline typically on July 31st. For some reason this year, they didn't want it on a Saturday. I think maybe something silly like Major League Baseball's office is actually closed on the weekends, and so handling the paperwork, right? They got to get it done today when people are in the office and you can fax it and all that, because that's how things still work today. You still have to fax it to the office, right, in 2021, and then they have to approve it and give. We've had trades not that long ago that kind of fell through because they didn't get it into the league in time, right, because, like, the fax machine got jammed or something. You can't just send a text or an email anymore. You still got to, like, fax in the official press release to the league, like, hey, we have agreed to this trade. Here it is, yada, 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 sign off on it. And there have been problems in the past, like, oh, sorry, you didn't do it fast enough. We didn't get your fax in time. So I think that may be why Major League Baseball moved the deadline up a day today, Friday, when they're going to have, like, secretaries in the office and, you know, people that can sign off on this stuff and actually get the facts and everything. But the trade deadline's today at 4. And in years past, the trade deadline would come and go, and then teams would still make trades. And you thought, well, what happened to that deadline? Right, well, because after July 31st, typically in Major League Baseball, you could still trade a player as long as they clear waivers first. This year, they have gotten rid of that. So after today at 4 p.m., no trades can occur. Now, I am curious about if a player is designated for assignment. I wonder if you could still trade that player. They do have to pass through waivers. I don't know. I imagine that could still happen. But that's a player you're designating for assignment. You're getting rid of them anyways. It's either they go to the minors, you release them, or somebody calls you up with a trade. So that's not a big deal. You're not going to get a big-time player through that. But the point being, today after 4 o'clock, if you're a baseball team, there goes your chance of making a trade the rest of the year. Right? This is the team you got, whoever you have in that organization. And maybe part of the reason why we've had one of the wildest trade deadlines in Major League Baseball, really, in years. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, let me focus on the NBA draft last night. And let's run through winners and losers for both the NBA draft and also the trade deadline as we approach the end of Major League Baseball. In the NBA, Cade Cunningham, I thought, was the clear number one pick. Most people did. He goes to the Pistons. First time the Pistons were picking first in half a century. And the hope is that he will be like their Grant Hill. Grant Hill was drafted in 1994 by the Pistons, third overall. And Hill came in, and he had all sorts of injuries, but he came in as the guy that was supposed to turn around the Pistons, and they were very excited about him. Cade Cunningham is supposed to be that next guy. 6'8", but with point guard skills. It's like Magic Johnson, right, coming out of college. Same idea, right? A 6'8 guard with those handles and that agility and athleticism, Cade Cunningham is similar. I'm not telling you he's going to be a Magic Johnson, but he has that great combination of size and yet guard ability, right? Speed, ball handling skills, certainly can score it, and does it all at 6'8". And then just some other moves I like, because the draft, the top three, everybody figured those were going to be the three guys. Jalen Green, Evan Mobley were the other players drafted. Green, by the way, drafted out of that G League Ignite at 2 overall. So that bodes well for these recruits that don't want to go to college and instead want to go become a professional before getting drafted. Green provides a good example for those players to follow. Like, hey, he went to the G League and still was drafted number two. But Jalen Suggs going number 5 to Orlando, I think, is a good pick. I like Davion Mitchell a lot, but surprised that Sacramento took him at number 9 when they already have a guard-heavy team. Right? Mitchell wears, he's a D Mitchell, wears number 45, much like Donovan Mitchell, who he looks up to. That's his idol. Can play on both ends of the floor. I can score it. Chris Paul has been mentoring him. I like Davion Mitchell a lot. I don't know if I like the fit in Sacramento. And I really liked Charlotte's pick at 11 of James Bouknight. Charlotte has always loved UConn players, and they got another one. And Bouknight and LaMelo Ball, I think, will be a lot of fun in Charlotte. I think Bouknight could be one of the steals of the draft, falling down to number 11. I was surprised he was still available there, and I like that pick for Charlotte. I think Charlotte is doing a good job of building a young nucleus there to work around. Otherwise, elsewhere, right, the Warriors had a couple of picks in the top 15. The Magic had two picks in the top 10. I thought they did pretty well. Some of the losers, the Spurs, maybe the Knicks, the Sixers, I don't know if they had a great draft. But the NBA is interesting because we always talk about, oh, it's just about the top five players. Then you look back a few years later and you see all the All-Stars actually came from the teens or from the 20s. Look at the best players in the NBA this year. They were not top five or even top 10 picks. Now, these are guys that typically go in the second half of the first round or even a couple of second rounders. You get a Jokic, you get a Giannis later in the draft, you get a Klay Thompson later in the draft. So it's so hard to predict in the NBA. But the NBA draft is crucial. In the NFL, you get seven rounds. Tom Brady's taken in the sixth round. All right, Lamar Jackson's at the end of the first round. You have opportunities to make up for bad picks. If you nail three out of seven picks, that's a good draft in the NFL. In Major League Baseball, nobody even knows who you drafted. If you're a Braves fan, right, tell me, who did the Braves pick first in 2019, their first-round pick? You have no idea. Nobody does, because you don't follow Major League Baseball's draft, and the GMs aren't held to it either. You could be a great GM who's never made a good draft pick, right, because a lot of times the top draft picks don't work out. You have 40 rounds, so you'll find a good pro player that you drafted in the 33rd round, but basketball's different, because it's only two rounds. Right, and there's only 12 guys, really, on a team. You have about 16 guys on a roster, 12 suit up. You only play about eight in the big moments anyways. You have to nail these picks. And there's a lot more pressure on these NBA GMs. We always believe the NBA draft is just about the top couple of picks, but then there are always a bunch of surprises. I think Davion Mitchell will be a really good player at number nine. I think James Bouknight, going 11 to Charlotte, will be a really good player. I like Jason Preston out of Ohio. I think could be a good NBA player. He didn't go until the second round. There's always going to be those surprises from the NBA in the draft. Meanwhile, the Major League Baseball trade deadline, as mentioned, comes up at 4 o'clock today. The winners are obvious, the Dodgers and the Yankees, so far. We'll see what else happens in the next 3.5-plus hours. But the two teams that everybody believed to be in the World Series last year, the two teams that everybody believed to be in the World Series this year, are the two teams that made the big moves. And it's what I was touching on earlier, right? The rich always seem to get richer in sports. The Dodgers and Yankees were able to do that. The Yankees went out and got Joey Gallo and also Anthony Rizzo. And meanwhile, the Dodgers made that big trade for not only Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, but also added Danny Duffy, a good lefty starting pitcher from the Royals, who everybody will overlook. They're the clear winners. They added All-Stars, they added MVPs, they added Cy Youngs. The Yankees needed a boost to their lineup. The Dodgers still needing some more help. Now the Dodgers have four MVPs and four Cy Youngs on their roster. If they don't win the World Series this year, it would be a huge disappointment. The Red Sox are another team in first place, added an All-Star yesterday in Kyle Schwarber. They're not nearly as big of a winner as the Dodgers and Yankees, but three of the bigger brands were the three teams that added All-Stars here at the deadline. And then the losers would be really all of the other teams that are trying to chase the Dodgers, Yankees, and maybe even the Red Sox. Those second-tier teams, like the Braves. Right? Like the Braves, to this point, haven't done anything this week at the trade deadline. So they have remained the same, while the Dodgers just got better. And if you want to win a World Series, as much of a long shot as that is for Atlanta this year, you're going to probably have to get by L.A. They just got a lot better while you stayed the same. Much like the Mets. Right, the Mets, in first place in the NL East, to this point, haven't done anything. And they're looking around. The Padres made a move. The Dodgers made a move. You're still sitting there like, oh, well, our opponents got better. We haven't done anything. And the Padres as well, I would actually put as a loser. They added Daniel Hudson to their bullpen, but they were originally reported to get Max Scherzer. And then, in the last minute, not only did they not get him, but their direct competitor, the Dodgers, got him. And that really hurts. So the Padres, I would also call a loser. They made a couple of smaller moves to bolster their roster this week. But the fact that you missed out on Scherzer and he goes to the Dodgers, right, that does not help. The Rays are another team to highlight because I don't really know what they're doing. They went out and got Nelson Cruz. Seemed like a good addition. He's off to a slow start so far. But then they traded away Rich Hill, one of their pitchers, and they traded away Diego Castillo, one of their closers, yesterday. So they're kind of crossing between a buyer or a seller, even though they're only a game and a half out of first place. I have no idea. I can't figure out what Tampa's doing. They usually have a plan that nobody sees coming, but I've been a little confused by their plan the last week or two. And the biggest loser in all of this, of course, the national fans.
the Nationals fans, that is, not just national fans of baseball, but fans of the Washington Nationals, because they became complete sellers with a fire sale and traded away two relievers and their shortstop and their best starting pitcher and their all-star outfielder just for a bunch of prospects 2 years after winning a World Series. And after winning that World Series, right, you would hope, much like the Cubs a couple years ago, like, this is the start of something. We'll be back next year. And just 2 years later, not even a year and a half later, they're already selling off pieces and going into a full rebuild. And that's always tough to swallow as a sports fan, especially that recent after winning a World Series. You would think it buys you some time. Like, we won a World Series. That's okay. We could stink for a while. But we're greedy as sports fans. And when you finally win, you're thinking, all right, let's go win some more. And when 18 months later, you're selling off all of your assets to rebuild, that's discouraging. And as a fan of teams that have struggled, I feel for those fan bases that have to go through that. When they have a team that they had high expectations for, and now they're intentionally trying to be bad to rebuild. Could be a long haul for the Nationals moving forward. They were the big losers, their fans, at this trade deadline as they replenish all of the top teams in baseball. Right, they sent a player to the Padres, to the Dodgers, to the Red Sox. They're helping out all the top teams in the league. And instead, the National fans will now have to suffer moving forward. We'll see what happens in the next 3.5 hours of this trade deadline. If the Braves do anything, the Mets kind of have to do something. I think the Red Sox still have to make a move. The White Sox got better this week. They're already a first-place team. So the rich have gotten richer at baseball's trade deadline. And we'll see if that continues the next couple of hours. Coming up, now that it's official, Texas and Oklahoma are on their way to the SEC. What does this mean for the college football playoff expansion? We'll get to that. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now that Oklahoma and Texas are on their way to the SEC, what could this mean for the college football playoff expansion? And why Greg Sankey should maybe hold that expansion ransom for the rest of the conferences? Get to that here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We'll be giving away some River Dog tickets in just a few moments, so stay tuned for that. But it became official yesterday, the big story in college football that we've been tracking. Became official when Oklahoma and Texas got the votes. All 14 schools voted to allow them in. And Texas made a point to single out Texas A&M, thanking them afterwards to throw another jab their way. I'm surprised Texas A&M did agree, but I guess they didn't want to be the only ones. Or maybe they realized, like, hey, you know, this will help our bottom line as well.
Or is the Big 12 holding secret talks with A&M and Mizzou and maybe Nebraska about rejoining? And maybe did they come up with a contingency plan?
Well, the Big 12 better come up with something. And if I'm Texas A&M, you can have those talks, but I don't know, at the end of the day, I don't know if that's worthwhile for them. But they're allowing everybody. I mean, they didn't have much of a say in it yesterday, but they also went along with everybody to say, yeah, sure, they could come in the conference. Although there was an experiment done many years ago, decades ago, in fact, that I've brought up on the show before about how they did do a study on that, about how you're willing to say the wrong answer, even though you know it's the wrong answer, just as long as other people in the room are saying the wrong answer. Right? You'd rather fit in and be wrong than be an outsider when you know you're right. And I'm not talking about, like, opinions, but actual, like, you know, math equations, let's say. And you know, like, oh, that's the wrong answer, but everyone else is saying it, so I'm going to say it too. So, who knows? Some peer pressure. Texas A&M sitting there thinking, like, well, we don't want to be the only ones. We obviously, everybody knows we don't want Texas to come in this conference, but we can't be the only ones to vote no. But regardless, they got all the votes yesterday. So Texas and Oklahoma are on their way to the SEC. And the AD of Texas reaffirmed yesterday that this is not a sudden thing. He said it's going to be 2025. I still don't buy that. I don't know why you would wait 4 years or why you would do all this now and then wait 4 years to join and have this awkward relationship with the Big 12 for the next 4 years. But that's at least what he is saying. Meanwhile, through all of this, the rest of college football, of course, is not very happy. And therefore are speaking out now about the college football playoff expansion. the commissioner, the new commissioner of the Pac-12, is apparently the one leading the charge when he has said that we need to reconsider this college football playoff expansion. As he said, it's certainly going to be readdressed. Remember, that was a two-year process done by four people. The proposal is good, but it's not done. We've misset fans' expectations that it's going to move on a very fast timeline. Well, I think that's because this news then came along that changed everything. A highly placed Power 5 source told CBS Sports, Dennis Dodd, by the way, had this whole story last night, but a highly placed Power 5 source told CBS Sports that with 12 teams, we could just be watching a lot of SEC teams in the 12-team playoff. I mean, that's already been the case. That would have already been the case. And now adding Oklahoma and Texas, I get why that's the concern, but that was already the case, and it will continue to be so. One Power 5 AD said, why on God's green earth would the Pac-12 and Big Ten hand over these playoff rights, which only strengthens the SEC? I'll circle back to that in just a moment. A second Power 5 AD said, I don't care if there are 10 SEC teams in, we just can't make that a bonanza every year for them. You can't strangle everybody else financially. I think that's already kind of starting. We'll also circle back to that a little bit in just a moment. Greg Sankey himself, he has defended himself and saying that the SEC was not the conference clamoring ever for expansion. I heard that from essentially every other conference, not this conference, about playoff expansion. Right? Like, don't blame me. This is what you guys wanted, and you brought us into this. And then Sankey, when asked if he now is a conflict of interest or has a conflict of interest, after pushing for the expanded playoff while simultaneously having Oklahoma and Texas agree to come into the conference, he said, no, there are a lot of checks and balances in the system. Things happened rapidly in the last 8 days, right? Suggesting this was not some part of a master plan where he had to get the first domino to fall, followed by the second being Oklahoma and Texas arriving in the SEC. Here was Sam Acho, who played at Texas, now works for ESPN, his thoughts this morning on Get Up about how this expansion to the SEC could affect the expansion that may be coming to college football's playoff system.
But I look at the landscape of college football. I look at what's going on with the rest of the Big 12 and even with the distrust. You talk about Sankey and Kliavkoff. There's so much that we don't know, and that's why I believe that this 12-team playoff will, in fact, be delayed. If I'm any other commissioner who's not in the SEC or even really not in the SEC, I'm not really excited about moving forward quickly. I want to evaluate the landscape. I want to see if there are any other secret meetings that have been going on that I didn't know about. And I'm probably going to try to slow this down. So as someone who went to Texas, who understands the dynamic, I understand that Texas will only do what's best for Texas. That makes sense. But the problem is the ripple effects that happen with the rest of college football.
Show Sam Acho on Get Up this morning talking about how one thing may affect the other with Oklahoma and Texas on their way to the SEC and how that may impact college football's playoff expansion. As he said, it could delay things. Well, remember, the original idea or contract, in fact, for the playoff runs to the same time that Oklahoma and Texas would join. So we're talking in both of these topics about 2025 if things stay on schedule. People just figured that they would try, if we were going to put this in place, they would try to have it start much sooner, right? Like, say, 2023 with the expanded playoff. Why wait? Which is the same thing I'm saying about Texas and Oklahoma. If we've already made this official, why wait till 2025 to join the SEC? Just do it next year. Rip the Band-Aid off. If we're going to expand the college football playoff to 12 teams, why wait until 2025? Let's readjust things and do it sooner. But, of course, a lot of other conferences are not happy now with this news. That changes things. Right, they may have felt a certain way a few months ago when talking about this. Now Oklahoma and Texas joins the SEC, and they think, wait a minute, right, maybe we don't want to do this. And for Greg Sankey, you may recall he was the one guy that was saying, it's not going to be as soon as you think. Playoff expansion will be 2025. And we could kind of see now why maybe he felt that way. Right, we can maybe understand the moves that Greg Sankey has made along the way, not only pushing for an expanded playoff, but then warning many that it's not going to be as sudden as you think. You're going to have to wait till 2025 because all the while he's having Texas and Oklahoma come to his conference. And it's like that buddy of yours when maybe you go out on the town one night and he wants to go to a specific bar or restaurant and you're thinking, like, why do you want to go there? And, I like that place. Let's go over there. And you're like, it's all the way on the other side of town. Why are we going to go over there? I don't like that. And then you get there and you realize, like, oh, that's why. right? There's either a girl there that he's interested in or a girl that he used to be interested in, and he wants to, like, see who she's with, right? And you walk in, and, oh, that's why he wanted to do that. That's why he was saying those things earlier, right? He didn't want to tell us the real reason, but he wanted to get us to this point. Just like Greg Sankey, he wasn't going to tell you the real reason of why he either wanted expansion or was warning you, like, it may not be as soon as you think. Because all the while, he knew behind the scenes, Oklahoma and Texas were on their way to the SEC. And he can now be like in the movie Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks when they overtake his boat. And the famous GIF now on the internet where the guy says to him, I'm the captain now. Right? That's Greg Sankey to the rest of the college football world. Because I don't know if SEC expansion ends with Oklahoma and Texas. And I read you some of those quotes from other people in the college football world where they're saying, you know, why would we give the SEC all this power? Why would we give them all this money? Why would we give them all these playoff teams? Because they may not have a choice. The SEC at this point is already the best conference in football, and really, when push comes to shove, the most powerful conference in football. I mean, we just saw that. They just stole the two best brands from the Big 12, which is not like the AAC. We're not talking about some sort of minor conference. It's the Big 12. And so if I'm Greg Sankey and I want that college football playoff expansion, I can almost hold that. I don't know if it's a ransom or more of a blackmail. You hold it over the heads of everybody else and say, like, hey, if we don't get this college football playoff expanded, it doesn't have to be 2023. We can wait till the contract's up, you know, in 2025, 2026, whatever, but we're going to do this. Because if not, we're going to come take away all your other teams. Now, we'll pluck away your assets. Now, you better give me what I want, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. Which, to go back to that situation with a friend of yours and maybe some sort of girl he's interested in, it'd be like if you were married or in a relationship. Hopefully not married. Let's just say in a relationship, because that may not hurt as much. You're in a relationship with somebody, and you think it's a great relationship, right? The Big 12 thought everything was going well. Bob Bowlesby had no concerns. And then somebody comes to you and say, like, hey, the girl you're dating has been texting me, right, on the side. She's very interested. And they say, don't worry, I haven't done anything yet, right? But, you know, I just wanted to let you know. I wanted to warn you. And then if that boyfriend is a jerk to you or they do something to you, it's like, all right, screw you. Now I am going to go behind your back. Now I am going to double-cross you. Now I am going to hurt you and follow up on these texts I'm getting from your interested girlfriend, which is like what Greg Sankey could do to everybody. Give them that warning and say, like, hey, we're not going to do anything about it as long as everything's okay, as long as we keep things copacetic, right, and we get this college football playoff expanded. And then when all the other conferences say, no, thanks, we don't want to give you all those playoff teams, Sankey says, like, all right, well, then we're just going to come steal your teams. We'll go get Clemson and Florida State. That's another story we'll get to in a moment. We'll go get whoever else, whoever we want, because we all know at the end of the day, any college football program out there would love the opportunity to join the SEC, regardless of their current situation. Sankey holds the power. He is the captain now. And really, whatever Greg Sankey wants will happen. When he wanted college football playoff expanded, that's what we got. When he wanted the season to be played last year, that's what we got. When he wanted Oklahoma and Texas to come to the SEC, well, that's what we have gotten now. And so I do think it may be delayed, but the expansion is certainly not off the table. Things won't change very much. These other conferences will talk a big game. They may be very upset, and then Sankey could just drop on them like, hey, if we don't get this done, we're just going to continue to expand the SEC. And they'll say, okay, right, let's expand the playoff. Just leave us with Clemson. Like when you're in like a holdup or something, God forbid, right, a stick-up. Right, you could take the money, just leave my credit cards. Right, or leave my phone, take the money. That's fine. And that's Greg Sankey right now, holding everybody captive in college football, and the SEC really going to be able to do whatever they wish. We got tickets to give away to the Charleston River Dogs game tomorrow night. It's a 6:05 first pitch at Joe Riley Park. First place River Dogs, a good baseball team. Always a fun night at the Joe. Hopefully it's a beautiful Saturday as well tomorrow. I got a pair of tickets. We got multiple pairs of tickets to give away. Give away a pair of tickets now. All you have to do is be the third caller, 843-721-9500. Third caller now, 843-721-9500. It's the Maurer Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week. You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought. You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. And we like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Tulsa that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Well, it's with Luke for 3 hours. Anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Congratulations to our winner, Glenn in North Charleston, who got a pair of tickets to the River Dogs game tomorrow night. If you are not Glenn in North Charleston, don't worry. You'll have another opportunity to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's game coming up in just a little bit. We'll give away our other pair of tickets to tomorrow's River Dogs game coming up here in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. Coming up, we'll also get to Clemson, potentially. Now that we have this expansion in the SEC, what could this mean for Clemson? Could they be next on the list? Because Florida State's president, John Thrasher, had some interesting comments yesterday. The president of Florida State, he said that they are prepared no matter what the options are. And then expanded and said, I don't want Florida State to be left behind. I consider us as part of the ACC, but I also know that we have a marquee name. Clemson has a marquee name. I think there might be people coming after us. I don't know. But we have to be prepared no matter what the options are. That's what the president of Florida State said yesterday in regards to the SEC expansion. Almost like putting that invite out there, right? You never want to invite yourself somewhere, but you say like, I don't have anything going on Saturday, when you know that that person you're talking to is like having a cookout. Oh, yeah, I've been looking for something to do this weekend. Oh, I don't have anything planned. Well, are you up to anything? And you're hoping that, oh, yeah, I got a cookout going on. Why don't you come over? Now you're fishing for that invite. John Thrasher puts out there, you know, hey, we have a marquee name. Clemson has a marquee name. I think there might be people coming after us. I don't know. I don't want to be left behind. Which also circles back to what I was just saying last segment about Greg Sankey, that it's the ultimate threat to these conferences. If you don't get what you want, if you want to expand the playoff, and then Pac-12 or the ACC says, yeah, but we don't really want to, we don't want you to have all the playoff teams. And Sankey says, like, okay, well, you know, we are looking to add more than 16 teams to the conference. I heard John Thrasher at Florida State's pretty interested, maybe Clemson as well. Okay, Rich, okay, leave them alone. We'll give you the playoff. Become like the ultimate threat. As I said, Greg Sankey's the captain now. Now he's running this ship. And we'll see where things go from here with the SEC. But I don't believe this is the end of expansion. And you know everyone else will be interested in trying to join that conference as well. We'll get more into this coming up next hour. And we'll also hear from Shane Beamer, who joined us on the show yesterday. We will replay that conversation next hour as well. So stay tuned for that. But I did have to touch on this because Joe mentioned it to me earlier. And then I was just scrolling the internet and I saw a story written about it. So, you know, it's not Thursday. We talk wrestling on Thursday, but I saw this story about some drama in AEW with a pizza cutter. Huh? There's some sort of issue now.
Yeah, the main event match between Chris Jericho and Nick Gage. You know, Nick Gage is a hardcore wrestler, and a pizza cutter came into play.
Uh-huh.
Well, while that was going on, the screen split.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, on the other side is a Domino's ad.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Domino's isn't too happy about it. They've kind of, you know, they're threatening to pull their advertising, but Pabst Blue Ribbon has already come in and said, if Domino's drops their advertising, we'll step in.
So no problem there for the AEW. Trade one out for the other. Okay, so I didn't know that part, that the ad. I thought they were just angry that a pizza cutter was used in a wrestling match, and they don't want to be associated, like, when people think of pizza cutters, they think of Domino's, and now kids see, like, this guy getting bloodied from a pizza cutter and thinking, no, I don't want Domino's tonight, Mom. Right? So, okay, that's a little different if there's the ad there. I still don't think it's much of a big deal, but I get that a little more than just, I thought they were just outraged over the use of a pizza cutter.
And during the screen split, a pizza cutter was used to cut a pizza getting ready to be delivered as well.
Oh, so. Okay. So this is getting a little more interesting now that I get more of the details. So almost like Pavlov's dog, right? You could be sitting at home not even realizing you see somebody using that to cut a pizza, somebody's using that to cut someone's head open, and you could put the two together and now think whenever somebody mentions Domino's, right, you have those flashbacks to like Chris Jericho blading somebody and thinking, no.
It was actually Nick Gage.
Oh, whoever it was, Nick Gage. Do you think this was planned or just a coincidence?
Probably is just, I don't think it was planned, you know, to be at happen at this precise moment. You know, I think they probably, you know, probably in hindsight, okay, maybe whenever something like this is going to get involved, maybe we should, you know, put this spot at a different time.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, maybe wait until after, you know, this part of the match, maybe after, you know, maybe a minute or two has gone by.
Right.
Or maybe try to do it if they know it's going to be involved, maybe at the beginning of the match, so that way it avoids it, you know, if you know it's coming later on.
Yeah. Like, hey, we have to get this Domino's ad in. Maybe we don't play it at the exact same time they're going to be using a pizza cutter in the ring as a move to injure somebody. We have 3 hours or however long the broadcast is. Like, maybe we get this in a few minutes or a few minutes later on. Seems like poor timing. Maybe just a bad coincidence. I could get that a little more. I didn't read the story. I saw the headline about, and I thought they were just freaking out because of the pizza cut. But okay, now you're telling me same time, they're cutting a pizza on one side of the screen, a wrestler's getting cut open with that pizza cutter on another side. Now, PBR, if they come in, and obviously it'll be a completely different, they're just looking for some space to advertise because they have nothing to do with pizza.
Well, sounds like it.
Because you figure,
but people like to drink beer, or you know, while they eat pizza and watch wrestling.
It's true. Because you figure if you lose Domino's, you want to replace. If you're talking pizza, right? You just Papa John's would say, "Hey, we'll be your new pizza provider," or Pizza Hut, or whoever else, instead of like PBR being that replacement. But hey, whatever. They just want the spot to advertise, I guess. No, keep pizza cutters. Keep your kids away from the pizza cutters. Hey, we have another pair of tickets to give away to the River Dogs game tomorrow night. We just gave away a pair. We got another pair here. Tomorrow night's game, 6:05 first pitch. Once again, just be the third caller now. We'll give you another chance to get these tickets, come pick them up, and go to the game tomorrow night. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour one here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Congratulations to Brady in Goose Creek for winning the other pair of tickets we have to tomorrow night's River Dogs game. If you won any tickets from us this week for the current homestand of the River Dogs, I hope you enjoy the games. River Dogs home throughout the weekend. You can get your tickets online, and we'll continue to give away tickets to River Dog games throughout the rest of the season here on ESPN Radio Charleston. Let me remind you, while there's still time, that you can save life by giving blood this afternoon in North Charleston until 4 o'clock. It's a Red Cross blood drive going on at Cruise Chevy until 4 today. Walk-ins are welcome, so if you're in the area, if you're heading over there for lunch, maybe a late lunch at this point, you could swing by Cruise Chevy until 4 o'clock today. Donate some blood, save a life. It's American Cross blood drive. And the best part, of course, all donors will receive a complimentary certificate for an oil and filter change, tire rotation, and more. So Red Cross blood drive going on today till 4 at Cruise Chevy if you're in the area or you have some time. Go give blood, save a life, and get something out of it as well other than just feeling good. You'll also get some sort of certificate for your car as well. Coming up a little bit later on, teams that will boom or bust in the NFL, and also next hour, we'll hear from Shane Beamer, who joined us for a few minutes on the show yesterday. How about Kelvin Benjamin, former Carolina Panther? Dave Gettleman, who drafted him with the Panthers, signed him to come to the Giants this offseason to give it a try as a tight end. He hasn't been in the league the last couple years. So Kelvin Benjamin comes in, and he was a little overweight at training camp a few weeks back, or like OTA. So they told him, we want you to lose 15 pounds. He comes back for training camp. He got released on day one this week because he didn't lose 15 pounds. He actually gained 3 pounds. He went in the wrong direction. Kelvin's excuse was, yeah, I put on muscle. I was working out. I put on 3 pounds of muscle, that's all. And there are reports that he was stealing food out of the Giants cafeteria training camp. I don't think that's true, but those are the rumors. Kelvin has always dealt with being a little too heavy during his career. He's out, cut already by the Giants, former Panther wide receiver. Hour two next. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.